The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. It's such a great promise here at the end of the Gospel of John that really those who have faith in Jesus have come to share in the life of God. Just want to take a short snippet of the passage that we have in front of us. Every priest that I've ever heard preach on this has talked about Thomas, right? Doubting Thomas. I don't care to. Right. I mean, it's been, for me, 35 long years of listening to the same homily, so I'm going to skip that one tonight. There's actually something much grander going on in this gospel, and it's the forgiveness of sins. Yeah, that's not like a small forgiveness of sins. Do you know what I mean? Like you think, yeah, Father, you're always on at us about going to confession. I'm not talking about that, actually. I'm not talking about going sit in that box and tell me what you did wrong and, you know, brush up and get back at it. I'm really not talking about that. But the forgiveness of sins generally, the mechanism by which we have been restored to God, the way by which we have been reconciled to God, by which we have life in God, and actually the fullness of that life. We have become recipients, we receive, and we have received God's forgiving love, God's self-giving, totally other-focused love. I was going to say, if you haven't received that love, shame. But it's a greater shame to have not given that love. If you've never been so selfless as to focus directly on the other for the sake of the other, right? Forgetting yourself, leaving yourself behind, then I do have some pity for you. The challenge is in front of us, is in front of us every day. This self-giving, self-forgetful, other-focused love. Maybe for those of you who have children, know kind of like what that's like, right? The gift that you have to keep on giving that oftentimes goes without thanks. But here, Jesus gives his disciples the commission to forgive sins. And they're right to turn around and say, only God forgives sins? Right? How can it be? Only God forgives sins. And what would Jesus say? Of course. But God now is forgiving sins through you. And that's a gift that Jesus entrusts to his church. But I think we want to go beyond that and see that each and every one of us as a member of the body of Christ, when we turn to God, is forgiven of his or her sins, receives to the full in prayer and sacrament God's forgiving love, and so we are compelled to forgive others. So I would ask you tonight to think of someone you have not forgiven. Right? I know this is not a happy exercise. I'm going to stand up here and smile because I try to live this every day, bit by bit, chip away at the hardness of my heart so that I can forgive folks, right? Who in your heart, who in your life do you need to forgive? Is Jesus, through me, calling you to forgive? It's not going to happen like that, right? This isn't magic. We have to bring that person, we have to bring that part of our heart before God, and we have to ask him that his love might conquer our heart, that he might breathe his life, right? He breathed on, what does that mean, right? You could see Jesus kind of like walking around the room breathing on people. What does that mean, right? Jesus is breathing on them just like he breathed into the nostrils of Adam. Just as God breathes life into the world, he's breathing life into our hearts now so that we can become more loving, more forgiving, more generous people for no other reason than that's who God is. And through the death and resurrection of Jesus, God has drawn close to us. We can receive God to the full into our hearts and into our lives and become forgiving people. Bring God's forgiving love into the world. That's what the world needs. Forgiveness. It's an aspect of love. The more we become like God, the more we give ourselves away. Forgiveness too often prevents us from doing it. Lack of forgiveness prevents us from doing it. So tonight, let's ask our God to set us free from that unforgiveness, give us his life and his love to the full, that we might set his world on fire.